X-29, number 9A.
As principled idea, as a principled idea, scientific man is the living manifestation of principle's infinite classification. To be principle's idea means to embody the system of the divine principle. This is the true structure of scientific man, and it is not surprising that Mrs. Eddy first called this chapter The Science of Man. In the last paragraph of the chapter, Teaching Christian Science, she meekly states that the purpose of founding a pathological system of Christianity was not to exalt personality, but to expound the divine principle. In recapitulation, human and material personality is out of the picture. It shows that scientific man, the divine personality, is but the expounding of the divine principle. So think in future of your true being as the expounding of principle. What an overwhelming new sense of man opens up at this juncture. While Teaching Christian Science presents first the ethics of science, that is, to abide by the divine principle and its scientific system, in recapitulation, we go one step further and understand ourselves as the very embodiment of the scientific system of divine principle. Now, as recapitulation states, principle and idea is one. And so this embodiment of principle system is not something outside the divine principle, but is always one with this divine principle, is always included in this divine principle, is always held in this divine principle. In other words, man and the universe, as the emanation of the divine principle, do not leave this principle, as it were. They abide within this principle. There is no such thing as a principle somewhere and its creation somewhere else. Principle includes its creation. This sense of the all-inclusiveness of the divine principle is the subject of the next chapter, Genesis. Genesis. Genesis is the title of the first book of the Bible because the characteristic of the book is that it contains an account of creation, a Genesis. Webster defines Genesis as the origination or coming into being of anything, natural development into being. So Genesis conveys the sense of creating, of generating something into being. If not viewed properly, however, this sense of Genesis may be very much misunderstood. It is therefore absolutely necessary to consider it from a Christianly scientific standpoint. It is by going out from the standpoint acquired in the preceding chapter, where all interpretation starts from principle, that we arrive at the true apprehension of what Genesis means in Christian science. In her introductory paragraphs to this chapter, Mrs. Eddy lays great stress on the necessity of viewing creation through scientific interpretation, through scientifically Christian views, and through spiritual interpretation according to the teachings of Christian Science. From this, you can see that Mrs. Eddy makes the standpoint of recapitulation, science reflecting the Christ, the indispensable platform for a correct view of creation. Viewed in this right light, Genesis shows creation as starting in principle, as emanating from principle, and as abiding in principle. If you can catch this sense of Genesis, of principle's creation, you have grasped the main theme of this chapter. To me, Mrs. Eddy gives the essence of Genesis when she says that the spiritual creation was the outgrowth, the emanation of his infinite self-containment and immortal wisdom. Science and Health, 519, 4-6. Whenever I ponder this statement, I am always struck with the richness of its import. Naturally, if taken in a literal sense, this key sentence must appear paradoxical. For how can there be an outgrowth, an emanation, an infinite self-containment? But taken in a spiritual and inspired sense, it touches the very core of Genesis. Self-containment means sufficient in itself, complete in itself, Webster. Hence, what this sentence means is that there is a creation forever going on, that there is a development, an infinite progression of ideas, an unlimited Genesis forever going on, that there is a principle forever emanating a creation, but that this process, this Genesis, is always comprised within principle's own universe of ideas, within principle's infinite self-containment, within principle's infinite self-sufficiency, and infinite self-completeness. As you can feel, the dominant tone is that of inclusion. It is really a wonderful tone, imparting the sense that the divine principle is not ejecting its idea into the universe, giving it out as if creation were then something separate from its origin, but that the divine principle holds its own outgrowth within itself, being thus its own center and circumference. We get the sense that principle, God, expresses itself within itself. This presentation of infinite withinness conveys the concept of the motherhood of God. As you know, Mrs. Eddy's exegesis of the 7 days of creation climaxes with this sense of motherhood. The glossary gives us a sublime definition of mother. Mother, it says, is God, divine and eternal principle, life, truth, and love. Science and Health, 592, 16-17. So the symbol for mother is not only love. Mother includes also life as father and truth as son. Mother includes father and son. In other words, the creative sense of father and the factual sense of son are forever fulfilled and included in mother. So, mother, to me, is a wonderful symbol for the chapter Genesis. For within mother, everything generates, takes form, and is held. Genesis could easily be termed the matrix of immortality, for the definition of matrix gives us the very sense of this inclusiveness, wherein everything generates. Webster defines matrix as a place or enveloping element within which something originates, takes form, or develops. That which gives form, origin, or foundation to something enclosed or embedded in it. here we have that sense of enclosure, of embosoming, within which there is a genesis. This definition of matrix conveys just what the chapter illustrates, namely that all the categories of metaphysics, as presented in recapitulation, forever generate in an ordered way within principle's infinite embrace. Principle thus holds within itself the forever progression of its own genesis. We gain here the sense of principle generating itself forever, and so lose the sense of genesis as a creation starting from nothing, as it were, and coming into being. All there is an infinite self-containment of principle. But this infinite self-containment, this infinite withinness, is not something static, for in it is infinite progression and newness of life. Genesis is written from the standpoint of the divine principle, interpreting its own infinite expression as the science of creation. It is rather interesting to note that the term science of creation occurs only in this chapter. It is all the more remarkable because this chapter depicts the standpoint of science reflecting Christianity. Science interpreting creation. Science interpreting the ordered unfoldment of ideas. The chapter has three parts. It views the all-inclusive sense of motherhood from three angles. The first part, which gives an exegesis of the first or true record of creation, has as its dominant theme a combination of love and mind. It illustrates how, within the motherhood of God, there is a spiritual creation forever taking place in its scientific order. Then the second part gives an exegesis of the second or false record of creation and has as its main theme a combination of truth and mind. It brings out how the truth of creation exterminates scientifically a false sense of creation, reducing it to nothingness. Finally, in the third part, Mrs. Eddy deals with modern theories of creation and evolution, which all go out from the belief that life has a material starting point and gradually evolves through different stages of matter. The overall theme there is a combination of life and mind. Life is shown to be the eternal and sole creator, forever perpetuating its own creation, thereby abolishing the belief in any material origin of life and any material creation. As we go through these three parts, you will see how they follow one another in a very natural way. First part. The first part depicts the infinite motherhood sense, which pervades the whole chapter from its point of view of inclusion. As I said, we have here the combination of love and mind, love including its own creation. Love as motherhood is shown as infinite self-sufficiency, infinite self-containment, infinite self-completeness, as the matrix of immortality within which all generates, within which mind reveals itself as an order of ideas symbolized through the 7 days of creation. So we get a wonderful sense of love's genesis, of love embosoming its complete creation, of love dwelling in its own realm of ideas, of love creating all in and of itself, of love which does not let any idea go out of its embrace, of love which mothers, encompasses, encircles, and includes its own perfect universe. This sense of infinite self-containment pervades the text in many variations. Mrs. Eddy speaks much of the unity of God and man, including the universe, and so brings out that there is oneness of creator and creation, that principle and idea coexist. We find here really an elaborated illustration of the paramount statement in Recapitulation, that principle and idea is one. What is brought into focus is not so much either principle or idea, but the unity, oneness, and coexistence of principle and idea. Can you feel how we are drawing closer and closer to the oneness of being? This unity is shown through the fact that God fills all space. The first part gives us a tremendous sense of infinite space or extension filled with God's ideas. In the text, we find statements to the effect that ideas range from the infinitesimal to infinity, that infinite space is peopled with God's ideas, that there is no place where God's ideas are not, that immensity is filled with God, that God peoples the universe, that God has countless ideas, that the depth, breadth, height, might, majesty, and glory of infinite love fill all space. Through the ample use of words such as infinite, infinity, infinitude, immensity, all, countless, multitudinous, inexhaustible, unfathomable, teeming, infinite space, infinite range, the vastness of God's universe is conveyed to thought. Although in the chapter Creation we also have a sense of infinitude, it is quite a different one. There, Mrs. Eddy shows how thought, by dropping mental limitations, expands into immensity. Whereas in Genesis, we do not get so much a sense of expansion as of extension. Here we start out from the infinite God and view the infinite creation not only in its vastness but also in its oneness with its creator, namely in the sense that the infinite God includes the infinite universe. The first part is full of the sense of God's all-inclusiveness. For instance, the text speaks of the all-inclusive infinity of God, including man and the universe, of the divine mind which includes all. Mrs. Eddy must have laid great stress on this sense of inclusion, for up to the year 1907 she had written in this chapter, "The eternal Elohim has created the universe," and afterwards changed it to the present wording, "The eternal Elohim includes the forever universe," Science and Health 5:15-16. This all-inclusiveness can also be felt in the statements that ideas are embraced in the infinite mind, that God dwells in infinite light, that mind dwells in the realm of mind, that the divine principle comprehends all. Can you catch this tone of infinite inclusion, this tone expounding that God includes his universe, that God embraces his universe, that God dwells in his universe, that God comprehends his universe. That is infinite self-containment. Now this Divine Mother is constantly giving birth to its own creation. Within this matrix of immortality, there is a genesis forever going on. What is this genesis? It is a consecutive revelation of ideas, a genesis originating in God, made factual in God, and forever fulfilled in God. The first record of creation, with its 7 days, illustrates a revelation of spiritually higher views of God. It is the very nature of the motherhood of God to bring forth an ever-progressive presentation of the infinite through infinite ideas. So within the coexistence of God and his creation, there is a genesis going on in a scientific order. There are therefore two standpoints, linked indissolubly together, from which the first record of creation can be viewed. There is the standpoint of coexistence, of God forever holding his own creation within himself. And there is the standpoint of Genesis, explaining the science governing the ordered unfoldment of every idea. In this connection, we find in miscellaneous writings the following interesting question. Why does the record make man a creation of the sixth and last day, if he was coexistent with God? To which Mrs. Eddy answers, in its genesis, the science of creation is stated in mathematical order, beginning with the lowest form and ascending the scale of being up to man. But all that really is, always was and forever is, for it existed in and of the mind that is God, wherein man is foremost. Miscellaneous Writings 57:25-31. Here you see how Mrs. Eddy takes in both standpoints, the one of man's coexistence with God and the other of Genesis in scientific order. I would also stress that in the answer I have just quoted, Mrs. Eddy indicates that Genesis depicts the science of creation in mathematical order. Through a thorough study of what the consecutive revelations in the 7 days mean, we soon find that they present a scientifically ordered revelation of progressive states of consciousness. A spiritual genesis is scientifically ordered. Every idea that originates in God automatically generates in this scientific order. It generates in no other sequence. If this were not so, then there would be no invariable order governing creation. There would be no science of creation. Let us go quickly through the first record of creation with its order of 7 days. To give a full explanation of the 7 days of creation would require a lengthy exposition. I therefore refer the student to existing literature on this subject, such as John W. Dorley, The Science of the Bible, Volume 1. Also, Metaphysical Notes, Volume 4, Numbers 19-25. A short interpretation can be found in the Compendium for the Study of Christian Science, Number 2. What does the motherhood of love call into being? It generates its own infinite idea, and this generation is shown through the order of the 7 days of creation. The 7 days expound how, from the point of initiation and through invariable order, an idea fulfills itself. Herein lie really the beauty and grandeur of Genesis, that because love holds its own perfect idea, every impulsion from God generates into fulfillment. The first day shows that because of the fact that mind dwells in its own realm, in the realm of intelligence, this intelligence always generates the light of wisdom. The second day shows that because of the fact that spirit dwells in its own realm, in the realm of substance, this substance always unfolds the light of wisdom into the firmament of understanding. The third day shows that because of the fact that soul dwells in its own realm, in the realm of identity, this identity always makes the firmament of understanding definite and unchangeable, dry land. The fourth day shows that because of the fact that principle dwells in its own realm, in the realm of science and system, this system enthrones this definite spiritual understanding as a governing spiritual power, the sun, the moon, and the stars. The fifth day shows that because of the fact that life dwells in its own realm, in the realm of individuality, this individuality always uses spiritual power to express fatherhood and multiplication, bringing about newness of life. The sixth day shows that because of the fact that truth dwells in its own realm, in the realm of consciousness, this consciousness affirms the sense of fatherhood through sonship and manhood. The seventh day shows that because of the fact that love dwells in its own realm, in the realm of infinite unity, this unity embosoms sonship or manhood through motherhood. Thus, the Genesis sense of every idea is fulfilled in motherhood. We see, therefore, that in the infinite self-containment of love's motherhood, there is a Genesis going on which can be interpreted in its science. What is this science of creation which is stated in mathematical order? It is an ordered unfoldment of ideas. In its scientific order, an idea first presents itself as the light of mind, first day, then unfolds into the understanding of spirit, second day, and becomes definite in soul, third day. It operates as a spiritual power of principle in harmony and system, fourth day, expressing newness of life, fifth day, thereby establishing a sense of manhood, the standard of truth, sixth day, and so reveals the fact that every idea is fulfilled in love, seventh day. This order is irresistible and irreversible. It depicts the science of creation. God has a complete ideal, and love, the motherhood of God, includes this ideal. What is love's ideal? Love's ideal is always to include and fulfill mind, always to include and fulfill spirit, always to include and fulfill soul, always to include and fulfill principle, always to include and fulfill life, always to include and fulfill truth, and always to include and fulfill love, the complete nature of God. Within this infinite inclusion, therefore, there is an infinite creative impulse, and from this infinite source emanate constantly infinite ideas. Now, every idea, because its infinite source is love, and love does not rest unless it sees its ideal fulfilled, is consequently always impelled to fulfillment, and this in the order of the science of creation. The quintessence of a spiritual genesis is that an idea in its office of generation unfolds in the definite order of the Word of God, of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. Because without the Word of God was not anything made that was made. This order is indisputable, for you will see that whatever is to be accomplished successfully, here you have a Genesis sense, must follow this order. It is the order of perfect accomplishment. This has brought us to the end of the first part, the part characterized by love and mind, by the fulfilled sense of the motherhood of love, constantly bringing to light mind's creation.